Hey Solomon, this is J. Rosemary. Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed and alone? I know when my children were younger, there was a lot of times I felt alone. That's why I started Solomon's Talk, this podcast. But you're not alone. You don't have to parent alone. And I keep repeating it because it's something that it seems we are convinced that we are alone. But reach out to me. I'm here for you. I can talk you through anything that's going through your mind because believe me, I've gone through some stuff. You can tell from listening to these podcasts that I empathize with you and I understand and can connect with what's happening with you. So click the link below and book a one-on-one with me. We could just chat. No obligation, no commitment, just chat. And so don't parent alone. Click the link below and book a chat with me. No obligation, confidential, and safe place to talk about you.
Life is a choice. And what I mean by that is you may not choose your circumstances. Like, I didn't choose the disability. I left the marriage, but I didn't choose to have an interesting first marriage. I didn't choose, you know, to be in the circumstance of being a widow and a single mom or solo mom. But I do get to be responsible and in charge of what I do with the given circumstances. In this battle of life, it's hard to keep your head.
So today I'm joined by Michaela Cox, author and solo mom. Welcome, Michaela.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. How did you become a solo mom?
In April 2017, it'll be 4 years coming up in April, my husband passed away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. And so how old are your kids?
At the time, they were 6 and 3, and now they're 7 and 10.
Okay. And what has been your biggest challenge raising your kids?
Well, I had to move cross country, first of all, because I lived in New Hampshire, where my husband's military career took him. And then all our friends and family are down south, so I moved back to Louisiana. So a lot of times when you're in a grief journey or dealing with grief, the experts tell you not to make any major decisions for like the first year. But I didn't really have the choice because I didn't want my kids to be, I mean, not that grandparents can replace, you know, a parent, but I wanted them close to family. And not only that, the way the northern, I'm not sure where you're located at, but the northern school schedule and the southern school schedule in the states don't match up. So it was wait till the northern school year schedule ended and then hurry up and get down south before the southern schedule, because northern schools go longer, but southern schools start early. So,
yeah.
And I didn't want to go be caught in the middle of a year or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then my lease was up. So it was all these things that you have to get into play. And the other caveat of my life is I'm legally blind, and so I can't drive. So I had a little support system up north with really good people who would help me, but the options were much broader down south. And so I had to move us within 90 days of my husband passing. So that was the first big piece.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of rough.
Yes. You know, usually where if it's a divorce or, you know, you're solo by choice, it's not easy, but there's not that added loss of your partner because you made plans, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody interrupted your plans.
Right.
And so and you're dealing with that and dealing with an impairment. Is it that a correct characterization of your your blindness? Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I've been blind my whole life. Well, my eyes have not been normal my whole life. I was born this way. Like, I was originally born blind. I'm not sure of everyone's background who's listening in, but I am a believer. I'm a woman of faith, a Christian. And in my family, we believe that at 7 months old, although impaired, I was given my sight back because I went from being totally blind with no medical explanation to being able to see, although impaired, for the rest of my life. And so I do see as just with limitations. And yeah, that's proved challenging throughout life. And I mean, I don't know any different because ever since I took my first breath and my first day on earth, I've been this way and I will be till I leave this earth because there's no correcting it. But you work it out. You know, you figure it out. You learn things and you get resources and you do your best with what you got and you decide what you want to do with it. So yeah, life was a little bit different and hard, but other than driving and just takes me longer to do things, I have a pretty normal life considering. So
right. You're very brave. I mean, you're raising children alone. That's in and of itself.
And I didn't plan on it. That's not what I was looking for. So
yeah,
that wasn't my plan, but you know.
Yeah. So, you know, and we moan and complain sometimes,
yes,
but it works for our good. Although when we're going through it, we really can't fathom how this is God. How is this good for me?
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for sharing. So I'm going to ask you something really off the top now.
No, that's fine.
What are you grateful for today?
I'm grateful that I don't know where you're located at, but in Louisiana, we uncharacteristically have had snow twice in 8 weeks. Okay. Now, for the ones of you who don't understand Louisiana weather in the stateside, I don't know how international you are or domestic you are. It's only supposed to snow in Louisiana once every 5 to 10 years, not twice in one winter. And they don't know what to do with it down here.
Wow.
So it stops everything. So we were like in like 20s and single digit temperature for like a solid week and couldn't go anywhere. So this week it's much warmer. The snow has melted and I'm very happy because I like warm temperatures.
Yes, me too. Well, I lived in Atlanta for a while.
Yes.
And yeah, if it was even a feathering, everything shut down.
I know.
And now I'm in Brooklyn, and it's been snowing for the last couple of weeks. So,
yeah, but what was weird about it was the days that Louisiana was getting snow, New Hampshire and Massachusetts and Maine didn't have any new snow. I'm like, what the crap? The world is upside down. This is not supposed to happen. I'm like, did I really move states? So it was wild. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be having this opportunity, and I'm just grateful to have another day to get work done. And it's the weekend. Woohoo!
Yeah, that it is. Tell me about, you're an author.
Yes.
Tell me about your book, where we can get it, and, you know, whatever else you want to share with us.
Oh, I'm an open book. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Seriously, and I don't mind talking. All my books are on Amazon, even the poetry one that I didn't publish through Amazon, but it is on, because I did that back in 2011 when I was in New Hampshire.
Huh?
But they're all on Amazon. I have a website. I can give you that information if you don't have it already.
Yes.
And you can find my stuff there too as well. And I'm on all the things, like I'm on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, stuff like that. And you can get to those through my, they're at the top of the banner, the little icons, you know, where you can get to those things as well. But no, I have several books. I did my motherhood book in 2000 and, well, I wrote it while I was in New Hampshire. And then I published it in 2019. So I started that series and then I've written other ones since then. But yeah, I think that's another reason I felt really strong about moving down south is because I knew I couldn't drive. And so I figured the more options I had, the better it would be to manage that. Because that has been a little bit challenging trying to make sure that I could do everything I have to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Right. Well, I guess it helps to have support, which is why you moved in the first place.
Yes.
So yeah, it really does help. I know that from raising 3 boys.
Oh my goodness. You had your hands full.
Yeah, well, not anymore, thank God.
They're on their own, huh? Out of the nest.
Yeah, my youngest is 25, so.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
There you go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they're still close by, though.
I think it's time for me to fly away for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Thankfully, they are. They have the mindset that, you know, you could live anywhere you want.
Exactly.
You know, really. And so.
Especially in our modern day age, you know, we have all this. Yeah, it can be annoying at times, but except during pandemic, you have airplanes and you can Skype and you can FaceTime and you can Zoom without Zooming, you know.
Yes.
So.
And for me lately, I discovered Amtrak.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people need to take advantage of Amtrak. It's a very viable form of transportation.
It is. Yep.
Yeah. So tell me, do you practice self-care and what does that look like for you?
Well, that was one of the things that I've been talking about a lot lately. People have been asking me, what would be some of the things that have helped me in my journey? Because not only have I done a disability and, you know, the loss of my spouse, but also you mentioned divorce earlier. I've done that too. I was divorced at a young age. So I know both sides of that equation, although I did not have children with him. But divorce can be equally hard just in different ways. You know what I mean? So it's its own struggle. So I've done both. That's why I call my message 38 triple D, going from much tribulation to learning how to thrive in all things, because disability my whole life, which is 1D, divorce at 26, and then, you know, my husband passing at 38. Well, I was 38 at the time. But anyway, the four things I think are really crucial for anything like that, that can really apply to just about any type of hardship or challenging circumstance. It's not really case specific, it's skill sets. And these are the four that I think are very versatile that can help in anything, no matter what someone might be facing. First of all, you may not choose your circumstances. Like, I didn't choose the disability. I left the marriage, but I didn't choose to have an interesting first marriage. I didn't choose, you know, to be in the circumstance of being a widow and a single mom or solo mom. But I do get to be responsible and in charge of what I do with the given circumstances. Think of it like this. Yeah. You're playing a card game. You're dealt a certain hand, you know, the hand of cards you were dealt. You may not choose the card you're dealt, but you get to choose what card you play when strategically to help you get to your end goal. Or another way of thinking about it is, from a creative standpoint, if you're an artisan and you're hired for a job to paint a mural or a painting or something, you may be told, for this job, we need you to use these materials. And while they may not be your preference, and you didn't get a choice in the criteria for what that person wants for their art piece they're having you make, you still get to choose how to beautifully create whatever you want on that canvas.
So, yeah.
I think that it is a choice, and it may be hard. I'm not discounting that. There can be some very challenging decisions we have to make in life, but it's still, at the end of the day, no matter how simple or difficult or easy or hard they may be, it's still a choice and it's still up to us. The second thing I think is a game changer, although this has been difficult for me off and on, depending on what day it is and like what end of the spectrum I am at, you know, because it's still challenging, you know, you still have feelings and emotions, and we don't get to necessarily choose the feelings and emotions, but our mindset, the mindset that we choose to try and stay with and cultivate and like capture the thoughts and then process them. But then, are we going to be a person? It's perspective and mindset of, are we going to be more positive, more negative, and stay in the negative, or stay in the positive and try and look for the good things, find joy, find happiness, be grateful? Or are we going to be half empty, half full, or more pessimistic or more optimistic? So I think that's the second part. And I do agree with you, self-care. I've been talking about that a lot lately, so I'm glad you brought that up. This, to me, I think is very challenging for women. I mean, I'm sure it is for men as well in some respects, but I can't speak for them. I'm a girl. I have kids. I'm female, obviously. So I don't know what the male brain thinks. Some days I don't even want to try and figure out what that brain thinks, but that's another story. I think for women, especially because we usually have so many hats and so many jobs and we're multitasking and we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to be doing these things and all the things and the kids and the husband, the spouse, the house, the job, the family, the whatever, fill in the blank, the career. We are so busy making sure everyone's good and taken care of that either A, we forget to think about it, or we don't have time, or we feel like we don't have time. And so we're like a well that has all this deep water that we're constantly shoveling out to take care of everyone, which we should. We're doing what we should, but you can only deal out so much water before you have to fill the well back up. And if you don't fill the well back up, there'll be nothing left to give. So think of it like self-care is filling your well back up. Now, that can look different for everyone. And I think it's hard for women to do it without feeling guilty, which is really challenging, is more so the feeling guilty part and like really feeling okay with, it'll be okay if I do this for 5 minutes or your whatever. When I was a young mom and in grad school, that was really hard for me because I did have so many things going on. And I would do it, but I would, like, I'd feel guilty about, like, I should be doing the dishes, or I need to be studying that one chapter, or I'd rather hang out with the kids right now, or my husband, or whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But I will say, for a journey that I've been on for the last 4 years, when you're going through grief, I promise you, if you don't do self-care, you're going to have a lot more problems than it's worth, because like, it's not a matter of it is your choice to do it, but it changes the ballgame of your survival and sanity. So I've been able to allow myself more freedom over the last 4 years. So like, yeah, you kind of really need to do this, and it's better off if you do it than if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And self-care can be a myriad of things. It could be watching TV for 30 minutes and just being still. It could be, I need to go for a walk. It could be journaling. It could be taking a bath. It could be I want to go to the gym. It could be a favorite hobby of someone that you're doing something for you. Self-care to me can be a very broad topic that can include lots of things that involve anything that is caring for yourself to help you stay balanced and, you know, serene and even keel and focused and centered and making sure you're attending to your needs as well.
Yes, yes, definitely. And thank you for sharing that and broadening on the topic for me. So I'm getting that because you shift your mindset, you were better able to handle being left alone with your children. And of course, you have to have a good mindset to deal with, you know, being partially blind. Because then otherwise you'd be blaming everything else and not focusing on getting.
I don't play the blame game. I don't have time to. And that goes back to the choice and the mindset. Are you going to be someone who makes excuses? Not realistic reasonings for why your life is the way, but excuses for it. Like, well, I can't do this because if that was the case, I would have never gotten anything done. And that, to me, I've never chosen to be a victim. I've always tried to try and strive to thrive and do what I can and do the best I can and be a victor.
Yeah.
Which comes back to the choice and the mindset thing, you know?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for being so open and honest.
It doesn't mean it's always easy.
No, of course not.
I've had my hard days. Trust me, I've had my share of them. I've had my challenges, but you still have to choose what you want to do with it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the kids are watching, so.
Ask me when they're 18 and 21. When mine are grown and I can go fly off to the beach for 6 months.
It will come. It will come. So any advice for solo moms apart from what you've just shared?
Those two, and then reach out for resources. There is nothing wrong in going to get help in whatever capacity. Maybe you need help with the cooking or the house cleaning to take it off your already insanely crazy plate. Or maybe you need to go out with a girlfriend once a week to have chill time. Or I don't know, maybe you need to go, if you find relaxation and being healthy, then go get your workouts in. Workouts can clear your mind and help you stay focused and get your energy back up by releasing those endorphins and serotonin or, you know, dopamines, whatever all those things are, neuro stuff that I know what I'm talking about, but I'm not good at expressing because I'm not an expert. I'm very layman when it comes to that stuff. I'm not good with the jargon. Or it could be a favorite hobby. Maybe you want to go play tennis with some friends, or you want to have a game night. Like, a lot of times me and my girlfriends, we'll get together once a month and we'll play Pacino at someone's house. Whatever. I like music. I like to swim. So during the summer, I find it very fun to be in the pool with my kids as much as possible. Yeah, I'm with my kids, but it's still something I enjoy as well. We're going to the beach for a week this summer. I am very happy clam while at the beach. That's my happy space. So it's whatever you find enjoyable. When I am not working on things, I enjoy shutter flying or whatever. Just find something that helps you. And resources, it may be you need homework helper with your kid's homework while you do something and cook supper or free your plate. Maybe you need to go to talk to someone. There's nothing wrong with counseling. I love counseling. It makes me so happy. Because it's a guaranteed time that I have in my schedule that I can work on me and my stuff. So that when that hour is over, I can free my brain up more and be more like centered and balanced and focused to go forward and keep doing what I'm supposed to doing for my kids and my life and keep traveling the journey that I'm having to travel right now.
Yes, yes.
Love maybe it's meditation. Enough. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's a church. I don't care. But something, you know, whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody, but just find yours.
Yeah. Thank you. So thanks, Michaela. I appreciate you coming out and talking to us and, you know, so enthusiastically. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. I don't mind. I find this very fun and I like to talk.
Yeah. Do you have a coaching program or anything like that?
Not yet. I'm writing books right now and I'm podcasting a lot, which I'm really enjoying that. And then I'm probably in April going to start a Facebook community.
Group?
Yeah, group and community.
Okay. So do you have your own podcast?
Nope, not yet. And I don't know if I will. I have so many books I want to write and I need to focus on that. So I might at some point. I'm not saying no to it. It's just that's one project that would be a big one for me to figure out when I have 8 projects I need to get published this year. So
I understand.
I'm a writer at heart. I've written my whole life. Like, I don't remember a time when I wasn't writing. And when I'm not writing, I'm thinking about it. It's who I am. It's what I do. It's what I love. It's my voice. It's my expression of everything I've been through with my words. And I think I was, even though it's not what I write now, but I was writing poetry in fourth grade and I was a little bit of an odd kid. So I somehow got the thought in my head at second grade to write an editorial and submit it to my local newspaper. And it was on politics. Go figure. What second grader does that? Whatever.
That's cool. So are you on Clubhouse?
I've heard about that only recently, but I haven't investigated it much. I need to find out more.
Okay. I'm going to send you an invite.
Okay.
And then you could use it as you want. You know, it's good for talkers.
You knew how to get my attention, didn't you?
Yeah, but I actually like it.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah. All right. So I hope one day you could come back again and we could.
I would love to. Right. I can keep you posting all the things that are coming out and how me and my kids and what we're doing, you know, together.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe we could talk about one of your books one day.
Yeah. I can send you information.
Okay.
That would be great.
That would be good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I hope you were inspired by Michaela's story. No matter where we are in our solo mom journey, we can always use encouragement and support. I recently wrote the Solo Mom Manifesto. It's a compilation of thoughts and inspiration for everyday life. Hello, solo moms. As a solo mom of three adult sons, I understand the challenges you face on a daily basis. As a mentor, my mission is to help you shift your mindset and empower you to take control of your life, to see yourself as God sees you. I know that unresolved trauma can be a heavy burden to carry, and parenting alone can be a lonely journey. But it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to know that you are not alone. You have the strength and resilience to overcome your challenges and create the life you desire. I want to help you to make the effort to tackle unresolved trauma and change your perspective so you can live the life you deserve. I offer complimentary consultation where we can discuss how to move forward. Create a plan to help you heal and empower you. You can schedule a consultation by emailing me at jen@jrosemarie.com or by calling +1 917 994 1329 or schedule a consultation with the link below. I am here for you and I want to help you take the first step towards healing and empowerment. Don't let unresolved trauma hold you back any longer. Don't parent in silence. So take action today and let's work together to empower you to live the life you desire.